I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roaming Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, roamingoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we're going to start in Lightning Ridge with a couple of people I've met.
Yes.
First couple is David and Judy, and they're responsible for the Facebook page for the RV Option Owners Caravan Group event.
Oh, interesting.
Absolutely interesting. Gone grown from 87 to 1,400 members since they've become involved.
Wow.
Straight after that.
You're going to be chatting to Barbara from the Australian Opal Centre in Lightning Ridge.
That's right. And then we're going to finish up with our regular speaker on the program, Mr. Jeff Diath from Checkweight, and he's going to tell us all about why caravans sway.
Well, that's a very interesting subject.
Very interesting, yes, and also can be very dangerous.
Yes.
So apart from all these fabulous chats, we've also got a great selection of music, as requested by the people we interview. So what do you reckon, Lynn?
On with the show.
G'day, listeners. Welcome back to Roaming Oz. This is Phil C here, and I am chatting with Judy and David. And they are involved with the Option RV Facebook and the page, and they're currently at Lightning Ridge with a huge event. How are you both going today, David and Judy?
Great, thanks, Phil.
Yeah, we're rocking it.
Absolutely rocking it. I heard Judy, you guys had a fabulous night there at the Opal Caravan Park last night. They had a Hawaiian night, and your head's still spinning from it. Is that right?
Too much singing, I think, and dancing.
Fabulous, fabulous. All right. Well, let's talk about your group. Now, Judy, you're the administrator of the group, and you've been associated with it for quite a while. David is the events coordinator. So tell us a little bit about the group, Judy. Like you mentioned to me earlier that when you became involved with it as the administrator, there was only a small amount of people, and now it's huge. So tell us a little bit about the group and how the numbers have grown since you took over.
Well, I took over, the group was formed in 2016.
Right.
And I was the third member in that group once it was formed, and then I signed Dave up, so he was the fourth member.
Uh-huh.
And the lady that created the group owned an Option RV. She was sitting on a veranda one day and decided they were going to start a group.
Right.
So when she got to about 87 members, she contacted me and asked me if I'd like to administer the group because she was selling her van.
Right.
And her businesses were taking off and she didn't have time to do it.
Okay.
So I've been the administrator since about December 2016,
mm-hmm.
and we've grown from about 87 members, and now we're over 1,400 members.
Wow, that's a huge amount of people in such a short space of time. How do you manage to make it grow so quickly? What do you do to attract people to it?
I think it's word by mouth, and when people see our vans out on the road, like they'll look at the vans and come over and have a look, and that we invite prospective buyers to join the group as well,
uh-huh.
so they can ask questions of the owners.
Yes.
And I think because the vans that look so good on the road, even after 6-7 years old, mm-hmm. we end up picking up quite a few members.
Yeah, and a lot of new prospective buyers that are obviously interested in the Option RV range because they are an incredible caravan. Which is the one do you particularly own? Have you got the Traction or Distinction? Oh, you got the Tornado. Okay, yeah.
But we upgraded it when we bought it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had extras put on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So in relation to your group, how many have you got out there at Lightning Ridge at the moment?
Well, we haven't done a final count because we did have some people stuck in the floods and some cars broke down. I think we would have made about 105.
Okay.
We've got four cabins,
mm-hmm.
people in cabins that didn't bring their van.
Right.
But they came to join us.
Yes.
And I think there was about six en suite.
Okay. So, David, you said you're the coordinator, the events coordinator. What sort of stuff can people expect to be involved with as far as the events are concerned if they just choose to become a member of the Option RV group?
Well, we have our annual event
in October, and it's we've been predominantly around southeast Queensland, but we've come in to do into Lightning Ridge this time.
Right.
It's been a little bit different this time. We normally have catered events, but we've because we're so far out, we've made this one self-catering.
Mm-hmm.
And we line up, we try and line up some entertainment.
Right.
We have the fabulous Mel and Susie playing here tonight.
Oh, they are fabulous.
And they are. They're fantastic.
They are fantastic.
Unfortunately, last night we had a late operation because our band were stuck and couldn't get through to the Lightning Ridge
mm-hmm.
from Brewarrina.
Yes.
So good old Spotify helped us out.
Mm-hmm.
And we put a speaker on and played some music and had some dancing, and we made our own fun. We had a ball. Had an
absolutely
ball.
Fantastic.
We've given away some prizes for best dressed. We tried to still make it the Hawaiian theme last night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we gave away some prizes for our best dressed people and tried to involve the kids into it. It's very much family orientated.
Right.
And yeah, we're having a ball. We've got some tours lined up for people to go and visit the sites here, the Chambers of the Black Hand, and many other sites.
Yes.
And yeah, we've got a Barefoot Bowls Day on Monday, weather permitting.
So you will organise all these events, you David. So if people get involved in the group and they say, okay, we're going to go on this big event at Lightning Ridge, what can we expect to do? You're the one who says, well, I've organised a tour to the Chamber of the Black Hand and we're going to have a Hawaiian night, and I've organised Mel and Susie, the Bush Poets, they're going to be out there. And you tell them all this in advance so they know what they're going to expect to do and see out there?
We generally do the itinerary around about 1 or 2 months prior.
Okay.
Judy does that. Judy does all the itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
And
the organising of all the tours and everything. I do all that. Dave goes into action when we get here.
Ah, so you're like an MC come DJ.
And you
got the party swinging last night.
That's right.
And poor Judy's now suffering with a sore head.
Yes, and sore legs from dancing too much.
Fantastic, guys. So you mentioned before you normally do your big events in Queensland. This time you've decided Lightning Ridge. Have you already got one sort of thought out or nutted out for the next year's event?
Oh, after this event, we're probably going to go scouting and look for another event. Nothing... or another event site. We have nothing planned as yet.
Right.
And it is getting harder and harder to find these places because our group is getting bigger.
So big,
We started off our first event in 2017 with 40 vans.
Jeez.
And we tend to be growing by approximately 30 vans per year.
That's incredible.
This is our third attempt to get to Lightning Ridge. So for the last 3 years, I've been trying to get us here. The first, in 2020, it was cancelled because of COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
21 was cancelled because the Queenslanders couldn't get it into New South Wales to come to Lightning Ridge.
Yep, yep.
And now we get flooding, but we're all here. We've made it. That's how keen everyone is to get to our event. We try and make it fun for everyone, the older, the younger, the children. It takes quite a lot of organising, and I wasn't even sure if we'd get to this one, so I haven't found a venue
mm-hmm.
for next year.
Yes.
We've got some ideas from people here at this event, so we'll go and look at that after we get home. We live in Townsville,
mm-hmm.
so we travel to south. So wherever the majority of the group is, I try to keep the event in that area.
Okay. So if somebody wants... Yes, go on, David.
Sorry, we will probably announce it January or February. We try to get it announced early in the year so people can plan ahead.
Okay. So you announce it on the Facebook page?
On our Facebook page.
And what's the name of the Facebook page for the benefit of anybody who wants to check it out?
It's Option RV
yes.
Caravan Owners Group.
Okay, Option RV Owners Group on Facebook.
Caravan Group.
Caravan Owners. Option RV Caravan Owners Group. And you find that on Facebook. Well, you guys, like, how do you go when you want to ring up a venue? Do you say, well, we've got 100 vans coming, can you fit us in? Because sometimes you can't fit a group of three vans in. How difficult is it for you to get the venues, the caravan parks?
We do a little bit of scouting when we're on our tours. We have a look around. We take advice from the members in the group if they think it might be a good spot.
Yes.
I always need to have dog-friendly cabins. I need to have internet for a lot of our people are business people, so they need to be able to pay their workers and stuff like that. So I've got I've got disabled in our group as well. So I always look for something to accommodate everyone.
Yeah.
And it is getting bigger. But, yeah, we haven't had any problems so far.
Okay.
And if we do get to a point where it's too big, well, maybe the showgrounds or unpowered camping sites, or make it work.
Okay. I guess the only criteria for being a member of the group is that they're either a prospective buyer of an option RV or they have to have an option RV already?
Yes. Yes, okay. An owner has one being built.
Yes,
In the build stage, yep. Or prospective buyers. That's pretty much covers everyone.
It makes perfect sense because you wouldn't want some scallywag coming along in a JCO, would you?
Absolutely.
With an event of 100 option RV caravans.
I don't mind if they're there and they come over and say, "Hey, we like your van. We might, you know, this is how I think the company." Has gone forward because people see the vans on the road.
They are a quality build.
Yeah.
And they're a fantastic family. It's a family-owned company.
Yeah.
And they're a lovely family who support us every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to give a little bit back to them by
advertising.
Them free advertising.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I was speaking with Philip and Lynch the other day, and I've got to tell you, and I have met Philip at one of the caravan shows, and I've really thoroughly gone through the entire range of option RV vans at 7th Street at Heatherbrae with Aidan Saggers, and I have to tell you, of all the caravans that I've looked at multiple manufacturers, models and so on and so forth, and I'm not just saying that because I'm chatting to you guys. Option RV to me would have to be one of the best built quality appearances inside and out. They are a fantastic unit, and you can understand why so many people are gravitating to this particular make of caravan. I can fully understand how your group's grown from 87 to 1400.
And I think one of the main reasons that this company is doing well is their after-sale service.
Okay.
It's so quality. They even look after, like, pre-loved van owners.
Okay.
People go out and buy a second-hand van. You know, we always tell our second-hand van owners to contact the company.
Right.
And let them know that they've just bought that van.
Mm-hmm.
So then Lance goes and puts all their details on her file.
I guess.
So if they have... They have problems like, you know, with the Swift ovens. There was a big...
There was a recall.
Recall on those.
Oh, the Swift ovens.
And you know, so with them having their names with Lance, she was able to contact them and say, hey, your oven's been recalled.
Recalled, yeah.
So, and this is for people that have bought secondhand vans as well. Decals, if they're coming off, they'll get them sorted for them.
Fantastic.
They're just amazing.
They just have that personal touch that the major caravan companies don't have.
Well, that's so important. And also one of the other things that I found very interesting was when I spoke with Philip the other day that the first thing we discussed was weights and things because I asked him about the full range. A lot of caravan dealers, and I'm not mentioning names or models, manufacturers in particular, they don't really seem to be too fussed about that. A lot of them are more interested in volume and sales, whereas Philip was very, very... you know, adamant that you've got to have the right tow vehicle to suit the style of van you're going to be pulling and so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
So to go into that side of it as well is pretty special to me, and it's to a lot of people. that, you know, buying a caravan for their first time may not know that their car's not suitable for what they want to buy and so on and so forth. And I read so much in different forums where people have bought and then they get it home and they realise my car's not legally allowed to pull this thing. It's too heavy.
But not only, yeah,
it's too late then.
It's a massive safety issue too.
Mm, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I've got to thank you guys. I hope you're having a fantastic day out there. I know you had some bad weather the other day, but you made up for it. You still had your Hawaiian night. What have you got planned for the next couple of days out there at the Ridge?
We're having a group photo shoot this afternoon.
Right.
If the weather holds out.
Okay.
And our prize draws tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Mel and Susie will be entertaining us.
Yeah, great
for
girls.
A while tonight.
Yes.
Tomorrow we have a barefoot bowl day lined up.
Pubs
in the scrub. Sorry.
Yes.
I'm getting my day.
We're having a convoy. We've got about 70 cars going out to
at the Grawen Field.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we've given them in their welcome bags. We've given them all a car flag, so we'll all have our car flags on and. Dave's going to have a drone up there.
Uh-huh. So if you're in Lightning Ridge, you won't miss us tomorrow.
That's fantastic. You're obviously so passionate about the particular brand and make of caravan and to have got this group from 87 to 1,400 and it's growing by about 30 vans a year. Oh, wow, that's an incredible effort, guys. Hats off to you.
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you.
Yeah, and
we love what we do.
These vans aren't cheap, you know. Like a lot of people use their superannuation, go out and buy a caravan so they can do their end of life travels and stuff like that.
Yes.
So I wouldn't do what I do if I knew that we weren't going to get support. The group is fantastic. Everybody in this group work together. They have fun together and. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know,
brilliant. Yeah.
Getting on the road and
meeting new friends.
Yeah, our friend base, Dave and I's friend base, is mainly Option RV owners now.
Okay.
So, yeah, but thank you for involving us in your radio show.
Oh, look, my pleasure, because, as I said, I think the vans are quality. Lightning Ridge is an absolute one of my favourites. I've been out there numerous times and... Mel and Susie, if you've not seen them, have you seen them before?
Yes, and they're fantastic.
Mel and Susie,
fantastic.
Absolutely love those two ladies to death. And it's been a pleasure. I hope you have a fabulous time out there and I'll keep you posted. Unfortunately, I don't have an option at the moment, so I won't be able to join your group. But but I'll certainly keep in touch with you guys and you let me know how things are going. Or if you've got something special coming up and you want us to make mention of it, just let us know.
Thanks very much,
awesome.
Thank you.
All righty. You're very welcome, Judy and David. I've got to wind this up now. And before I do, I've got to play you a song. Now, what's your favourite Aussie song or band?
Oh, look, my old Aussie favourite. It's got to be Men at Work Down Under. I love that song.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. All right, David, Judy, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thanks, Phil.
There you go, listeners. David and Judy from the Option RV Caravan Owners Group on Facebook. Check them out. And we'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after Men at Work's Down Under.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women glow and men thunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Speak my language. He just smiled.
Filsy here, listeners, with Roaming Oz, and I'm in Lightning Ridge at the Australian Opal Centre, and Barbara is going to tell us all about this wonderful centre. How are you, Barbara?
I'm fine, thank you, Phil, thanks for coming into our little fossil showroom.
All right, now tell us a little bit about the fossil showroom, paint us a picture in words for our listeners.
I would love to do that, because here at Lightning Ridge we not only have opal, but we have opalized fossils.
Okay.
And they're unique in the world.
Right.
And they're opalized because the opal in Australia is sedimentary. That means it's laid down with water. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we have a few dinosaurs that have been laid down. Mm-hmm. And opal is formed during the age of dinosaurs.
Right.
So it's a pretty exciting discovery. And if it weren't for opal miners, nobody would ever see these fossils.
Right.
Our collection, and this is only a tiny little display that we have to show you, are gifts or specimens donated by opal miners for tax credits.
Right.
So I'd just like to alert you to the fact that opal mining is a business this century.
Uh-huh.
It's not just grandpa digging down the back. You can't fly by the seat of your pants anymore. You've got to have some credentials and big bucks in your pocket.
Right.
I know we have Outback Opal Hunters on the television that paint quite a different picture, but be aware, coming to the Opal Center is something that you'll remember and want to return to, because it's a work in progress. And when you drive out on the yellow car doors, you will come to the excavation that is all ready to go. The building we have a model of here for you to look at. It's solar paneled roof with vents that capture the breezes. It sits in the ground, and it's designed by Sydney architect Glenn Murcutt, who's well known in the world for his ability to deal with the semi-arid environment.
Okay.
Now, I know it doesn't look very semi-arid at the moment because we've got the weeds growing up around your ears.
Uh-huh.
But ordinarily, we don't have that much rainfall. It's an exciting project. It's moving along. We have $20 million already from the state and federal governments and our local shire.
Mm-hmm.
It's community-based. It's a non-profit organization, and we represent all of the opal fields in Australia because we're the longest surviving opal town.
Okay.
And of course, we're closest to the Big Smoke.
Yes.
And to the coast where everybody else lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on the way to somewhere these days.
Absolutely.
I mean, with the storytelling of the Historical Society, we bring these opals and fossils alive.
Okay. So these, you mentioned before about the fossils here, that this is New South Wales, and we were talking about Queensland before, so tell us about the difference here, Queensland, New South Wales with the fossils.
Thank you for remembering that, because we are the beginning of the trail that goes up into Queensland.
Right.
Some of you have been to Winton,
mm-hmm.
and of course their wonderful display. Ours is the beginning of that trail, and we're the only dinosaur fossil site in New South Wales.
Right.
Now up in Queensland, the boulder opal is what you may know. It's the opal in the cracks of ironstone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here at Lightning Ridge, we have lots of ironstone, but it seems to only attract lightning.
Okay.
And I find that so strange that boulder opal seems to stop at the border, and that's only about 30 kilometers north.
Okay, so you've got no explanation, no theory as to what...
Well, when you think of ironstone, of course, that is volcanic.
Okay.
It's heat and pressure, but the cracks fill with that sedimentary opal.
Mm-hmm.
And Lightning Ridge opal, I mean, maybe this is why we have a reliable resource of black opal, but our opal is freshwater opal, where White Cliffs, Cooper Pedy, and on west of us is saltwater opal. We were on the edge of the Billabong.
Okay.
Now, we have lots of opal in North America, but it's all volcanic.
Uh-huh.
It cracks. It's a different style of a gemstone. Mm. So not only do we have such a reliable resource of opal in Australia that's accessible, we have the opalized fossils. And that is something to crow about, and why we are doing this wonderful in-the-ground building. It's the Australian Opal Center, and you'll want to come and see the progress, because we are moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never know how long it'll take us to get down there with our formations.
Okay, so because I was going to ask you, like, that's quite a big building.
Yes.
And have you got any idea as to when that's going to be completed?
Well, I think that what we're doing is stages, and I believe that the first stage is meant to be open late 22.
Uh-huh, okay.
So we will at least be able to walk in And there'll be, you know, it'll be a work in progress as we walk in, but at least we'll see something.
Yes.
And this is what we're looking forward to, is seeing something. We have a wonderful website, in case you'd like to Google us, AustralianOpalCentre.com.
Okay.
Yes. And there's all sorts of information in there. But our little showcase, we have the tiniest little pine cones that are opalized, but they have a very big story to tell. And because we are freshwater opal here, we have river pippies. We have vegetation, we have lungfish tooth plates, yabby buttons, and as you'll remember from your knowledge at school, most opal has no color.
Okay.
It's called potch. Now here at the Opal Center, we also have some display of social elements found in the old diggings, like rusty bits, and well, we do have a set of opal teeth. They weren't found underground, but they certainly have been a curiosity over the years. We had an entrepreneur come to town back in the 60s.
Right.
And he was from Parks, very local. But he just thought it would be kind of fun to have his dentures carved in opal.
Okay.
And he knew just the dentist in Parks who would do it for him. So he flashed his gums to so many people who just, well, he couldn't stop smiling and got tired of that.
Yeah.
So he took them out and put them in the Digger's Rest Hotel here in a little niche so that they were always smiling at everybody. And one day they went missing. Well, there was a great hoo-ha in the town that they'd been stolen. As a matter of fact, they hadn't been stolen. And eventually the Opal Center was given the teeth because the name of our little local newspaper for the Opal and Fossil Center is Harold Hodges Opal Teeth.
Okay.
And Harold Hodges lives on forever with us and his teeth that are in the showcase. And we have a nice panel of his teeth on the wall outside our little showroom. And in fact, a little book has just been published about his story and the teeth.
Okay.
It's a bit of fun. So social history is very much a part of it. And at the Historical Society, of course, as mentioned, it's our opal, our collection of stories and documentation that brings these opals and fossils alive and makes them memorable.
Fantastic.
You
fantastic.
Have that little anecdote?
Mm. So it's definitely a place you'd recommend tourists to come and have a look at.
It's a must-see place because this building is going to be iconic.
Yes.
It is said it will rival the Sydney Opera House.
This new building?
The new building. We just hope the cost doesn't quite raise that high.
Okay.
And fingers crossed for us.
Fantastic.
But things are happening, and it's all very much a part of all of us because we've worked hard to get this far.
With
a lot of support from outside people like yourselves who come to visit us, drop a little tin, money in our tin, and, of course, visit our town and go underground and become opal lovers.
It's
our national gemstone.
And the important thing, too, you just mentioned your tin there, because a lot of the things in Lightning Ridge are volunteer-based, aren't they?
They certainly are, and that's because we're the last part of the Shire to join up in 1957.
Mm-hmm.
We're sort of considered the renegades, really.
Right.
Because lots of people go away in the summer months. Others are staying more and more permanently because we have modern air conditioning now and we have modern everything that you think you want in the comfort of your traveling and in your life. So more and more people are spending time here, and of course it's a great place to retire because, you can just walk up and down the street and pick up opal. It's the truth. It's the thrill of the chase. It's a lifestyle, I assure you. Come and find out.
So we've got to just keep looking down to the ground, is that correct?
We're not stupid. We're hopeful.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Barbara. It's been another pleasure chatting with you here at the Opal Center.
Well, thank you for coming in and thank you for asking about it.
Oh, definitely. Now I'm going to play you a song. What is another favorite song of yours? Favorite band, favorite song? Got to be Aussie.
Well, I'll tell you what, because we're talking about dinosaurs 100 million years ago, what about Sounds of Then?
Okay.
By Ginger Jang.
Ginger Jang. Ganga Jang.
Ganga Jang.
All right. That's it. Not a problem. Well, stick around, listeners. After Ganga Jang, we'll be back with more Roman Oz.
Talking scene. is awkward. Your face is wet, long diagonals and slope in two. And in the distance, through the heat haze, in convoys of silence, the cattle graze. A certain texture, that certain beat, brings forth the nighttime heat.
Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Oh, g'day, if you've just joined us, this is Roman Oz, okay, the program where we give you all the facts and figures, and we are talking to my, I think he's my resident co-host now, because he's been on the show for at least 20 shows, and a wealth of information, Mr. Jeff Diath from Checkweight. How are you going today, Jeff?
I'm going really well, Phil, and I like the sound of that co-host. Does that mean my pay doubles?
Or? Hang on a second. I shouldn't have said that, should I? I should have just said our regular speaker on the program, not my co-host. Well, look, I don't know. I'll have to talk to upper management, okay, about your pay increase.
Well, I've had a double pay increase in the past where it doubled, but
yes.
I paid nothing, so nothing is nothing.
So you get twice as much of nothing. Well, I'll tell you what, how about I send you a bumper sticker or something like that, or a fridge magnet or something? How would that be?
Fridge magnets are worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, look, let's get on to the serious stuff, because the topics and the discussions that you and I always have, very serious issues. We do clown around a little bit, but at the end of the day, the stuff that we actually talk about is highly informative and, you know, could save people lots of money and also some people's lives. What are we going to talk about on this program today, Jeff?
Well, yeah, very serious subject today, Phil. I thought we'd talk about caravan sway and what are some of the things that may cause your caravan to sway.
Oh, look, this has got to be the – I've got to tell you, mate, I have these issues from time to time, caravan swaying. So I'm sure everybody that's towed a caravan has experienced this at least once or twice. So, yeah, tell us all. What's involved? Why do caravans sway, first of all?
Well, the caravans sway probably just because of the nature of the connection. So we have a connection or what they call a pig trailer.
Yes.
Where you've got the wheels in the middle.
Okay.
And what happens is that, you know, one moves the vehicle or the caravan mm-hmm. and it yaws, and that causes the hitch to actually move right. and therefore eventuate or cause the sway.
Right.
So that's probably the result of something happening. So there's quite a few things that can result in caravan sway.
Right.
And I thought we'd talk about this subject because I saw a question on a Facebook group the other day
mm-hmm.
and somebody said, well, what, you know, how do I fix my caravan sway so that I can drive at the speed limit? And, you know, there was 100 well-intentioned answers there, but some of them were just dead set dangerous, the answers, because
really?
If you don't know what's causing the sway,
yes.
you tend to have this problem where you fix one problem and cause a worse problem.
Yep.
So, you know, everybody has, you know, probably at some time experienced sway, either mild or badly, and that becomes their truth.
Right.
So they think that's what happens for everybody. But about the different types of sway and what can cause them from a weight perspective, and, you know, we'll talk about a few solutions to that.
Okay. So is it primarily the caravan that causes the sway, or does the sway come through the vehicle? Because we've spoke about, you know, light tow bar and weights and tow ball weights and heavy tow ball weights, which transfer that extra 150 through into the rear axles. So does it start at the car, or does it start in the van and then transfer through to the car?
A good question, because it can be one or the other or even both.
Okay.
So we'll start with the vehicle. And
right.
as you mentioned, you know, the weight of the rear of the vehicle, you know, which is what you've loaded in it plus the tow ball weight.
Right.
And we've mentioned, and you mentioned that 150%. So if you've got a 300 tow ball weight, it's adding around 450 kilos to your rear axle.
Okay.
Now, that may not be necessarily a problem, but if you've got drawers and a, you know, fridge and, you know, a canopy and, you know, a boat or something on the top of the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
then you've got too much weight on the rear of the vehicle,
right.
which then equates to having not enough weight on the front axle.
Okay.
And I've weighed quite a few people where they'll ring me and say, yeah, I need to get weighed because the caravan's swaying. And when I weigh it, I find that it's actually the vehicle that's the issue.
Okay.
The vehicle has too much weight on the rear axle
mm-hmm.
and not enough weight on the front axle.
Right.
And it might be driving down the road at 95 k's quite stable,
mm-hmm.
but then they'll get to or 105 and it'll be unstable, and that's because the steering is getting vague,
right.
it's getting light,
okay.
and then that creates the impression that the caravan is swaying, where it's actually the vehicle that is actually the issue.
Okay,
so that's one problem, which is
yeah.
the vehicle being too heavy on the rear axle and too light on the front.
Right.
The other one is our tow ball weight, which you did mention.
Mm-hmm.
If your tow ball weight is too light, that lowers the speed at which a caravan may sway. And I say here may sway.
Right.
It's actually pretty difficult to know at what speed your caravan will sway.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's a trial by error type thing where mm-hmm. we're driving down the road. So my suggestion is that you start off with your tow ball weight around 10% of your gross trailer mass.
Right.
And that's the actual gross trailer mass.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you're traveling, your tow ball weight will change. You'll use a bit of water. You'll use gas. You'll buy food. You'll move things. So your tow ball weight will always change, as we've mentioned.
Yeah.
So if you start off at 8%, it might be okay, but then you get to 7, it might be really, really bad.
Okay.
So if you start off at around that 10%,
mm-hmm.
you've got a little bit of give and take, so that it when it does go wrong, So you've got a bit of give and take,
mm-hmm.
And you've got a bit of flexibility in what your tow ball weight will be.
Okay. So apart from the vehicle, then, because I know you know, a lot of people do have their vehicle out of balance because, as you said, most people put everything on the left-hand side of the vehicle, the fridge, their awning and so on, because this is off the road and, you know, if you need to access or drawers and tools. What about the van itself? Like, do people have a tendency to weigh too much on one side of the caravan to the other because it's been badly loaded or badly, not badly, but just been through construction or?
Look, you're exactly right. Some caravans that I've weighed are, you know, as much as 150 to 250 kilos too heavy on one side. And that's partly the way of the design or not understanding your design or not looking at the design of your caravan.
Okay.
When I've weighed these caravans and they're really heavy, one of the things they look at and they go, oh, well, that'd be the fridge or the oven. And I go, but the fridge and the oven were there. Okay. It's not necessarily where the fridge and the oven. It's what else you put there.
Uh-huh.
You know, whether it's the tools or a slide out barbecue that you put in the front boot on the left-hand side if you need to get access. And as I say all the time, I talk about weight, not convenience.
Mm. Mm. And that's the side that everybody picks on, isn't it? Because, you know, when you're in a caravan park, you don't want to walk around to the other side of the caravan to get your slide-out barbecue because you're sliding it out on the awning side. So you've immediately added weight to that. But then you could counteract that, couldn't you, by putting a generator on the other side, for example, which is the side of the power inlets.
Well, that's right. But just being aware of that. And an awning as well, you know, some of the awnings can weigh 30, 35 kilos and they're on the passenger side as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just being aware of the caravan's design.
Okay.
And if you weigh it, well then, you know, with a mobile weigher like CheckWeight, you can then determine what that balance is and then you can move weight and pack it accordingly.
Okay.
And not so much while you're not travelling, but while you're travelling down the road, you want to pack it so it's as even as possible.
Okay. So what other things would make a caravan sway then, apart from being poorly loaded?
So we did mention the tow ball weight. So, you know, we want to have that tow ball not too light because that will reduce the speed at which a caravan may sway. But also having too much weight either end.
Okay.
So what I mean by either end is having it too much weight on the drawbar, and then people put too much weight on the rear, and you just mentioned a generator.
Mm.
Some people put a box and put a generator on the back, which I believe is a really bad idea because you're just making a seesaw because, after all, if you look at the design of a caravan, it's a big box which is designed as a seesaw.
Yes.
So you're making more weight at the front and the back.
Uh-huh.
So if you do get sway happening and you've got a lot of, you know, big generator hanging off the back, that's just going to accentuate that sway and just make it worse.
Alrighty. Now, you mentioned speed, you know, and a lot of the times, because I read on a lot of forums, you know, oh, there was a rollover, there was a caravan accident here and there, and the first answer that you see, you know, the bush lawyers, you know, on the forums is, oh, he must have been driving too fast. So speed is the first thing they jump at, isn't it, when there's a caravan accident? He's driving too fast, lost control.
I generally think that's the way we've been conditioned, and I think speed is an important factor.
Mm.
And I maintain that, you know, one thing doesn't cause an accident.
Okay.
You know, it's usually a combination of things that cause an accident.
Okay.
Now, your caravan, you may drive down the road normally at 90 k's and it's all stable.
Right.
But if you've got it not loaded correctly or you've got too light of tow ball, and then all of a sudden you're going down a hill or your speed creeps up and you're doing 100.
Yes.
And then it may become unstable. There might be some wind shear off a B-double going the other way, or it might be really windy, or you might, you know, swerve for a rabbit on the road.
Okay.
And then all these things combined to make an accident.
Okay.
And so one thing doesn't usually cause an accident. I believe it's a combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
And speed is one where, you know, if it's a perfect storm, the faster you're going, the less likely you are to be able to recover,
okay,
especially if your caravan's not loaded.
Look, I think speed is such an important issue that a lot of people, because I've had caravans overtake me. I sit on, you know, 95, and they go past me and they're a blur in the distance. So speed is definitely something, but I think that's something we should save for another chat, don't you think? Because that is a really, really sort of important area, because people think, oh, the speed limit's 110, or the car's towing it without any effort, so let's go at 110. But as you said, one minor thing can turn into a major thing when you are travelling at that speed. And it's so difficult to sort of recover or to pull it all back into shape, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's how about we talk about speed next week?
Absolutely.
In more detail.
Yeah, fabulous. We'll definitely want to do that. Now, what about tyres, Jeff? Can tyres affect a caravan sway at all, whether they're badly, you know, maybe badly worn? Obviously, if you've got 200 kilos on one side more than the other, those tyres are not going to wear evenly, or even tyre pressures, for example.
Look, absolutely. Tyres are a big factor, and, you know, you'll see same questions on Facebook, you know, what PSI should I be running?
Mm.
And I think we've spoken before, you know, the first port of call is to look at your compliance plate and see what the recommended is.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that it usually says on there is tyre pressure at this weight.
Yes.
So if your caravan has changed its weight, like what you're running tyre pressure when it's empty and full, is be two different tyre pressures.
Right.
So, you know, obviously talk to your tyre guys about this in more detail. I'm not an expert on tyres.
Mm-hmm.
But a good starting point is to look at your compliance plate and see what the recommended tyre pressures are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned weight. Yeah, I actually had a guy who had a couple of wheel alignments on his caravan because he was wearing the left-hand side tyres. And when we weighed it, we found it was 250 kilos too heavy on the left-hand side, passenger side.
Was that his problem, and he created that 250 kilos? You had everything on the one side, i.e. the barbecue and the generator and the hairdryer for the wife or whatever. What was that, designer issue, or was that just him?
I would say it was 80% the design of the caravan. You know, we had the fridge, the stove, the awning, all the storage was on the left. So it was probably a 10, 12-year-old caravan. So it wasn't very well designed from my point of view.
Uh-huh.
And he just put new tyres on it. So, you know, that was pretty good indication, because he'd had two wheel alignments and they said the wheel alignments were fine.
Okay.
But it was scrubbing and tyres. So he was going to try and move as much weight as he could from the left or passenger side to the driver's side.
Right.
Even if he could get it, you know, to be 100 Ks, would have been better than the 250.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he certainly had some work to do to be able to do that.
Wow. That's something, listeners, you should look out for, because, you know, when you buy a caravan, they tell you the tear and the you know, the gross vehicle mass and so on and so forth, but nobody discusses whether one side is heavier than the other. You just assume, oh, it's a 3,000, you know, caravan, and you're thinking it's all evenly distributed over the two axles and the four tyres.
Look, it's some of the things, you know, one of the things that I talk about in our online course is that, you know, you need to look at the design of your caravan.
Yep.
And understand the design of the caravan and then load it accordingly.
Right.
But our very nature, people tend to put everything on the passenger side for convenience to get at it.
Mm.
And as I said before, I talk about weight, not convenience. It's not always convenient to put your heavy things on the driver's side, but certainly when you're driving down the road, having an accident or experience sway is pretty inconvenient as well.
Yeah. And talking of tyres, just going back to the tyres momentarily, I mean, the last caravan that I purchased, I bought it brand new, and I see it a lot on probably 90% of caravans, because it looks really tough, especially four-wheel drive style caravans. They put blasted mud tyres on them from manufacture. And I think a mud tyre on the highway is probably about as useful as an umbrella with a hole in the centre of it. They're not really designed for highway driving, are they, at 110 kilometres an hour?
Well, we'll talk about the speed, but it should be 100. But, yeah, look, I'm not sure about the tyre sometimes. Mm. I've had discussions with quite a few owners on the type of tyres. But, you know, caravan wheels aren't driving.
No, they're not.
You know, I believe for off-road You know, they have a bit more give and things like that. But everything's a compromise. So, you know, if you're doing, you know, 90% of your driving on hard surface road, then do you really need an off-road tyre?
No, I don't. My personal, you know, experience with those tyres was that they were just terrible because, you know, as you said, I mean, it's all right to have a big chunky tread when you are off-road, but you spend, I think, probably 70-80% of your time getting to your destinations for that little bit of off-road stability with an off-road tyre. The rest, all-terrain tyres are definitely the way to go, I think. I've had mud tyres on my car and they're just useless on the highway.
Yeah, I think all-terrain is absolutely the way to go in the majority of cases.
So anything else, Jeff?
The other thing that we haven't spoken about in regards to what may cause sway, I sort of alluded to it, is if you've got too much weight over the rear axle of the caravan.
Yes.
If you've got a dual axle caravan, I should say, if you've got too much weight over the rear axle and not enough over the front axle, you can get what they call porpoising. So it sort of bounces a little bit.
Yes.
It's technically sway, but it's still something that you need to be aware of and something that's not ideal.
Yeah.
So make sure that you've got the weight distributed correctly in the caravan.
Right. Well, that's the most important factor, isn't it? Making sure you get the weight correct, because I know you've said that you could move an item from, say, the back of the van to underneath the bed in the front of the van, and it makes quite a bit of difference on the actual tow ball weight and the way the vehicle performs.
Yeah, exactly right. And, I mean, I've fixed people's sway purely by moving a carton of beer or a carton of water from the ensuite down to beside the bed.
Okay.
And it's, you know, you get a double whammy when you take it from the back. You put more water on the tow ball, more water. You put more weight on the tow ball.
Yep.
And then when you put it beside the bed, the water, you put more weight on the tow ball again.
Okay.
And I suppose that's the thing. If you are experiencing sway, you know, in your caravan or your vehicle, just change one thing at a time. Like if you're on a trip, you know, drive for 50 Ks and go, well, this is not right. Move one item forward. You know, most vehicles will cope with too much tow ball weight rather than too less, as long as you're not, you know, having the front wheels of the vehicle, you know, up in the air. And the same thing, move weight from the back of the vehicle forward. You know, if you've got a dual cab, move it to the back seat, or, you know, move it as far forward as in the tray as you can. So you don't have that the pressure on the rear axle of the vehicle, and you don't have too much weight on the mobile.
Okay, fabulous. I think we've covered it all, Jeff, or is there something else? You are the expert.
I think we've covered it all, Phil, and if we haven't, we can do it in another week.
Okay, so having said that, we always finish with Aussie music. You know that, Jeff. What's your Aussie selection to end this segment, my friend?
Look, I think I know it's Sunday, but I've always got Friday on my mind by the Easy Beats.
Hey, great song. And you got to think too, Friday on my mind. Everybody thinks Friday, especially when it's a long weekend. They want to get out there. They want to get away. They want to get there as fast as they can. We mentioned speed earlier. We're going to discuss speed next week, listeners. So Friday on my mind is good, but just remember, you are on holidays. Take your time getting there. What do you think, Jeff?
I think that's really good advice, Phil, so please travel safe and enjoy the road.
All right, listeners, we're going to be back with more Roaming Oz straight after the Easy Beats, Friday on my mind.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. They just don't go. Thursday goes too slow. I'll have Friday on my mind. Gonna have fun in the city. Be with my girl.
hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.